name, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. We give him all the honor and all the glory. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, asking that you bless this service. Bless me, Father God. Think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords. You know the needs of these, your people today. Not I, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, glory to God. Let's get started here. We're going to continue our series that we've been talking about of Kingdom Resurgence. Hallelujah. I'm excited about miracles, man. I like that song. I like that song. Come and move. Hallelujah. So this Kingdom Resurgence, we're at part five. This morning we're going to talk about the strength of joy, your spiritual force of victory. So God wants us to live from the kingdom that's on the inside of us. As I've been talking, he dropped this series in my spirit about kingdom resurgency. And it's exciting to me. And he wants us to understand the vital necessity of living from our born again spirit within. So the kingdom of God is on the inside of us, right?
Amen.
And so as mature citizens of the kingdom, we live from the inside out. So we don't let the outside circumstances influence us in any way. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now we're going to again talk about joy. It's a spiritual force. Joy is not a feeling. It's power. It's spiritual power that comes from the inside. Glory to God. And we release it on the outside. It gives us strength to stand and overcome any obstacle that the enemy tries to bring our way as we focus on God. Lord spoke something to me this week, and I want to share it, and that is, we must stop focusing on our faith and focus our faith on him. A lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to make sure we're in faith and going all through the faith principles and things of that nature. And in the end, you start getting into works, and you got to be careful that you don't get into works and get to some denominational mindset of faith. We're faith people. Now, we're people that have faith in a God. You understand? And it is our faith in God that pleases him. It is our faith in God that creates miracles, that he's able to manifest himself in our lives, because he created what's called the law of faith. The law of faith is, it's a spiritual law that we must believe in God, and we must believe in what God has provided for us in his son, Christ Jesus. So we're not just going to church to be religious. We're fellowshipping because we're children of God, and we receive the atoning sacrifice of Christ Jesus. So now, with that understanding and said, in this teaching, we're going to learn how to keep our joy strong. You're going to learn how to keep your story strong, protecting it from the enemy and using it to win spiritual battles. All righty. So now we're going to let me go here. In our opening statement, as born again saints, remember that the kingdom of God is already on the inside of you. Right. And I just want to look at that highlight right there where it says, or that bold writing where it says, godliness is the prerequisite for the blessing. Mm-hmm. And that prerequisite is what's first. So if you're not living a godly life, you can't be blessed. That's first things first. Amen. All righty. So a lot of people major on other things, but I like to major on the simple thing, which is Jesus. All righty. Our text comes from Luke 17, 20 through 21, where it says the kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. It's within you. In Romans 14, 17, it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. It is peace. And it says it is joy in the Holy Ghost. So the joy comes from the Holy Spirit as he reveals to you the heart and the mind of God. I'm going to say it again. The joy that you have comes from the Holy Spirit as he reveals to you what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So he reveals your salvation to you. He reveals who you are and what you have in Christ. Is that making sense? So now, the kingdom of God is governed by spiritual laws. So we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the year. We got to get in we got to get a good understanding of the spiritual laws of the kingdom. Just like in the natural world, there are spiritual laws in this natural realm or natural world. Well, in God's kingdom, there are spiritual laws. And to sin means to break a spiritual law that produces the curse in your life. It enforces itself automatically. All right. So the kingdom is not external, it is internal. It is not governed by religious rituals or worldly systems. It is by spiritual laws that operate through surrender. So we have to surrender or obey them through godly hearts, through a person that has godly hearts. I want that you to get understand what I'm saying. It's a godly heart. See, he gave you a new godly heart when you got born again, that are willing to die to their personal agendas and let him use them for his purpose and glory. All righty. So this is not really going to work. You're not going to experience the kingdom if you're not surrendering yourself to him. And that's just a place of maturity. All right. So now let's get into section one, understanding the joy of the Lord. Section one, understanding the joy of the Lord. So the joy of the Lord is entering into his joy. This is what I want us to really take away from this teaching today, is that we enter into the Lord's joy for you. It is stepping into what delights God's heart for us. Just like a parent, especially a grandparent, that enjoys seeing their children doing well. Any grandparents here? Great grandparents here? Amen. Don't you enjoy seeing your children's children doing well? It does your heart good? Yeah. Well, so is true with God. He is a father. And when we understand that, we get rid of that religious mindset and get a relationship mindset and see him as your father and not this judge that's mad at you. Well, so just as a grandparent that enjoys seeing their children doing well in life and their grandchildren enjoying, look at this, the toys, more than one, they receive as they watch them play. You ever watch your grandchildren or children play with toys you got them? You know, you buy them a nice outfit and they like wearing that. That's that favorite outfit. Glory to God. God's like, I'm trying to bless you and clothe you with my love and glory and my goodness. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? It brings God. Our Heavenly Father receives joy and satisfaction from us living godly and enjoying the kingdom of his son's love. So we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah as we begin to embark on this study. Okay. So now, I'm going to give you some historical context because I really want us to learn. You know, people are going to know something different about you. You're like, they actually know the Bible. Yes, our pastor teaches us the Bible. Teaches us. You got to know what you believe. And a lot of Christians don't know what they believe. They know they believe in their religious denominational codes and creeds. But do you know what you believe concerning who you are and what you have in Jesus? Make sense? So, historical context of the book of Nehemiah. The time period is about mid-5th century B.C. before Christ. During the reign of King Artaxerxes I of Persia. So, King Artaxerxes of Persia. The setting is Jerusalem. Basically, was in exile after Babylon. You always found them exiled or besieged or in captivity because of sin. So when we sin, God can no longer protect us. Therefore, the enemy is able to take people into captivity. The purpose of captivity is to get them to repent. Why does the police lock you up and send you to jail, send you to court? So that you can recognize your ways was wrong and to repent. Huh? It just makes sense. Why does a parent put someone on punishment? Their child, so that they can understand their behavior was unacceptable, not to punish them in the sense to destroy them, but to get them to understand, if I don't correct you as a parent, the police officer is, and he might take that billy club or his gun and shoot you dead, because he really don't care about you. He's, you know, you got too many Bonnie Fifes, all them Bonnie Fife preachers. I mean, not preachers, some of them preachers too, but police and others, just shaking a gun. I was afraid for my life. Man, he got, man, come on, man. Some stuff is just, they getting away with murder. But God will deal with that.
Amen.
But more importantly, as we're supposed to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord, so they don't even be in that environment. Mm-hmm. Environment, a good, healthy, godly environment matters. Amen? So now, let's continue on. The role, Nehemiah's role, he was a Jewish exile serving as the cupbearer of the Persian king, Artaxerxes. Now, a cupbearer was a position of trust and influence. He had to taste and drink the drink before the king because, you know, the king don't want nobody to poison him. But here's something that you got to understand about a cupbearer. It was unlawful to be in the presence of the king sad. And so Nehemiah was sad because of the state of his people that was besieged. Mm-hmm. And so the king asked him, why are you sad? And he began to pray. He prayed to God, and God gave him grace and favor so he can begin to rebuild the walls and the gates of the city. So the mission, after hearing of Jerusalem desolation, Nehemiah was moved to rebuild the city walls and restore it with dignity, to bring restoration to it. I love this book. Leadership. He had leadership. He was appointed governor of Judah. And he led through prayer, strategy, and boldness despite opposition. This is one of my favorite books. I was telling my wife, this is my favorite Old Testament book. As a leader, I love this book. And like I said, I don't really like to call myself a leader. I like to call myself a pointer. But follow me as I follow Christ and point you to him. Yeah. I'm just the under shepherd telling you about the great shepherd. Mm-hmm. All right. So the key theme of the book, just bear with me with this, because we need to understand these things. The key theme of the book is rebuilding walls. Nehemiah mobilized the people to reconstruct Jerusalem's defenses in just 52 days. It didn't take forever. Did you see that? You can read that in Nehemiah chapter 6, 15. So what happened is he mobilized the people to reconstruct Jerusalem's defenses. So from that, we understand that walls are defenses. No walls, you have no defenses. So you're going to learn some things. Spiritual renewal. It was about spiritual renewal. The restoration of the walls and gates represents spiritual renewal. For the kingdom of resurgence, this is important. This is the renewal. To get people's spiritual walls built up so that the enemy can't keep going in and out of their life, besieging it. Here's a song. You can't keep running in and out of my life. What was that by Willie Nella? I went over to Willie Nella, you know. Glory to God. I think it was the Gap Band. Or anyway, 19th. No, Willie Nella. It's an inside joke between me and my wife. Hallelujah. So basically they begin to bring spiritual renewal with the public reading of the word, explaining the word of God. So the true heart and gift of a teacher of the law, of faith in Jesus, that's the law of the book, is confession and covenant renewal through understanding the word of God. So that's why I love this book. It's really a passion. It's my heartthrob. I love this book because that's my whole mission, is to get people spiritually built up where the enemy can't keep besieging them, especially after being plucked as a brand plucked out of the fire. This book really, really is important to me. So opposition and he had a lot of opposition, but he had perseverance through the opposition. Just like now, the enemy is opposing this work, but we have to persevere. The devil doesn't want people to get spiritual walls built around their life, because as long as there's walls down and gates open, he can come in and out of their life and get them to move in their emotions and their feelings anytime he wants to. And a lot of churches don't understand this. They're trying to build people emotionally, but you got to build them up spiritually. Paul came to build Christ up in people. That was his whole mission. When he discovered Christ was in him, the hope of glory, Paul's desire, goal as an apostle, is to form Christ in people. Oh, man. And so what I'm sharing with you is apostolic. I have an apostolic heart, to, and the apostolic is about Jesus and building people up in Christ. Okay, let's move on. So look at this. Nehemiah faced threats, mockery, internal strife, yet remained steadfast through prayer and wise leadership. Some things that I am now connecting with. That's why I've connected with older, wiser men that have succeeded in restoring walls and taking cities for Christ. So we get into, they're also getting into covenant identity. They begin to see their covenant identity. So the book emphasizes returning to God's commands, restoring Sabbath observations. That's for us in the new covenant, the Sabbath rest is Jesus. So we're to rest in the Sabbath completed work of Jesus Christ. And to purifying of worship. No more flesh worship, let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. So this is a really a good book. Let's go ahead and move on. I've got 10 minutes in that, 15. That's a little longer than I wanted to stay. All right. So now let's go ahead and read Nehemiah 1 through 3. Understanding the joy of the Lord. Now I got all my shouting out already so I can stand calmly. I've preached to myself all morning and ran around. Glory to God. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Alrighty? So Ezra and the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women. And all, now look how this is read. All who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. So all the people that could hear with understanding. That sounds very familiar when in the book of Revelations, Jesus says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Listen, everyone doesn't have an ear to hear the simplicity of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you got to have an ear to hear about Jesus and not get in all this intellectualism and emotionalism and all this rah, 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 jump up and down, let's run around ministries that build you up emotionally, but really sit down and say, okay, let me understand how to live godly for real. Let me understand who I am and what I am in Jesus, because it's that understanding that brings that inner joy. And to see, you can run around in church, but do you have joy in the marketplace at work? Amen. When everything going wrong and everybody complaining and blaming, and you walk around smiling and say, oh, God's good. And they like, I don't understand why you're so happy. Because I'm living from the joy of who I am on the inside. Glory to God. Man. As Christians, we shouldn't be complaining all the time. I mean, it irritates me to see Christians complaining about their problems and talk about the medication they're taking. Who cares what medicine you're taking? You need to take the Bible. You need to take the scriptures. That's your medicine. And I'm not saying not take medicine. What I'm saying is don't glorify medication. Glorify the scriptures and believe God to heal your body, because it's a part of your covenant right. Amen. But if ain't nobody preaching and teaching you that and teaching you how to do it, you ain't going to do it. You know you can't do nothing that ain't nobody teaching you how to do.
That's right.
Okay. So then verse 3 says, then they read the book in the open square, and it was in front of the water gate. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. From morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to what? The book of the law. So everybody was attentive. They were sitting down. They had their notes and their pens and their books, because they plan on going home and reviewing the word like the Bereans out of the book of Acts to see if it was so. And hear the Holy Spirit for themselves. So now let's go into Nehemiah 8:4. It says, so Ezra the scribe stood on the platform of wood, which they had made for the for that purpose. You know, the pulpit, what they call it now. So I'm skipping all the names I can't pronounce. Is that okay with you? When you read that, you'll see I'm skipping a lot of names I can't pronounce. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And he was standing above the people, and when he opened it, look at this, all the people stood up. See what I got there? It says, now you see where they get the standing for the reading of the word. comes from. You see where it comes from now. Let us all stand for the reading of the word. So you can, anyway. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, glory to God. While lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So you see that. So glory to God. They worship God for the reading of the word. Man, that don't see when you mature, it's the word that makes you happy. See, when you read the word and that word makes you happy. All righty. Now, let's continue on with Nehemiah 8:7-10. It says, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law. What did the Levites do? They helped them understand the law. They didn't teach them psychology. They didn't teach them intellectualism. They taught them what the Bible was saying. And the people stood in their place. And so they read, look what it says in verse 8, they read distinctively. They read distinctively. Distinctively. You like that word? That's the way they read the Bible. It says distinctively means in a way that is clearly different and special, making something easy. This is the key of distinction. Easy, recognizable. Do you understand? It made it easy for them to understand. Come on, man. Come on. Let's keep it real. I done been to places and I done heard people preach and teach with words I couldn't understand. And if you don't understand the words, it can't help you. If you don't understand how to put it to practice in your life, it can't help you. The Bible says, and all that getting get what? Understanding. So if Reverend don't give you scriptural understanding, I ain't talking about something that make him, you know, that sound good. He talking about language with just some philosophy and, you know, no. I'm talking about where you can open up the Bible and the scriptures make sense to you so you can live them. God honors his word, not our cliches, not our philosophy. Sounds like, I read stuff on Facebook, well, that sound good, but it wasn't scriptural. So they read distinctively from the book of the law of God. Look at this. And gave the sense and helped them understand the reading. Come on. Are you really understanding what you're hearing in church? Are you just something that sounds good that makes you motivated so that you can achieve your selfish desires? Oh, I needed that word. Man, go on somewhere and sit down. You ain't trying to live right. I'm being honest here. It makes you happy, but what was the word? And then you ask a person, what did your pastor talk about in church? What did you learn? How can you apply it in your everyday life? Scripturally, I don't know. It was good. He got down. I heard people say, man, Reverend got down today. Well, he got down. We don't go to be entertained. We go to be trained, to be built up, to be nurtured, to be fed the scriptures so that we can live. Mm-hmm. And Nehemiah was the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, look what he says. This is holy to the Lord your God. Look what he says. Do not mourn and weep. So why did they weep? For all wept when they heard the word of the law. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions to those whom has nothing been prepared. For the day is holy to the Lord. What day? A holy day is when you understand the word. To the point, see, I'm telling you. When you understand the scriptures for real, it will bring tears of joy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, this is what I understand, Lord. Mm-hmm. Repentance is like, oh my God, I didn't see this. I'm so sorry. Tears of repentance. Mm-hmm. That when you cry, you're going to change your heart. Not repentance because you got caught and it made you feel a certain kind of way. Guilty. Yeah, okay, you're guilty, but did it minister to you in a way that you want to live better? See, you realize that I was living the wrong way. Like with me, when God plucked me as a brand out of the fire, it changed my life. And then he told me to look to Jesus, who is the love that I was looking for. And then he told me to go teach people to have faith and put their faith in all that my son has done for them. That's what the church is not doing. And that's why people backslide, because they're going to understand, they want change. But the only way you can get change is Jesus. Jesus is the change that you need. So if you're not being taught who you are and what Jesus has done for you, you're being robbed of your salvation. And you're not getting the true help that you need. His anointing heals your broken heart. I had a broken heart, but wasn't no anointing there. Men wanted me to sit in the seats so they can brag and pat their back on how many sheep they got. I don't care. I told you, I don't care if they don't care. I don't care if they get mad at me. I don't tell the truth, Mom. I don't tell the God's honest truth. Men did not care about me. They didn't care about my well-being. They cared about numbers. Brother Barry cared about me. See, he told me the truth. You in the flesh, Brother Larry. And so he said, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be sorrowful. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice how it's read. It says the joy of the Lord. Notice it didn't say joy in the Lord. Are you getting that? The joy of the Lord. So it's his joy. So what brings God joy is you understanding his word. Jesus is the word that became flesh. What brings God joy is when you understand your salvation for real. You're just not going to church because you have a position, or you on this auxiliary group, or because it's very social friendly and you feel good being there. And there's nothing wrong with the church. Should be social friendly and have things. But do you understand your salvation? That's why people backslide. Brother Larry, why are you backslide? I did not fully understand my salvation. Well, how can that be possible? It is easy. When you go to church and they start majoring on minor things, you forget it. You forget who you are. You got to be reminded, just like looking in the mirror. Remember when the scripture says you walk away and forget who you are? And that's what the devil wants. And then he put all this other information that is irrelevant. Than really knowing who you are and what Jesus has done for you. And so then you get into a works mentality trying to get right with God. All right. So, look at, did I just change the screen mark? We got that. Yeah. So look what it says here. So there's three key takeaways I want us to get from this. One, teaching the word. In 7 and 8, they taught the word. The Levites helped the people understand the word. Understand the word was read clearly and explained so that everyone could grasp its meaning. I'm talking about the scriptures. Tell me what the scripture says, chapter and verse, not your psychoanalytical opinion, nor your religious way that you think the interpretation is. The scriptures interpret themselves. You get this? Oh, man. That's the heart of a teacher, to explain the scriptures to you so that you understand it. And I can talk to people right now that I know and ask them, can you explain your salvation to me? See, the reason I say salvation, your salvation, because salvation is personal. I didn't say, can you explain? Notice I said, I didn't say, can you explain salvation? Because you're going to give me a generic word, if you even know that. No, but can you explain your salvation? Can you find scriptures to explain your salvation to someone that don't know Jesus? No, you got to bring them to a program at church so that Reverend can preach at them and get them to join their local assembly. But they never know Jesus. I was seeing something on Facebook. They was talking about the presidents and whatever. He don't even know. He's not even saved. He doesn't even understand how to be saved. But he's being used by God. God is not going to abuse a person. It's doing people a disjustice to not teach them Jesus. People are not saved. A lot of these politicians don't believe in Jesus. They talk God just to win ignorant Christians' votes. But I want to hear them talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on. About them being saved. All right, so the second thing is conviction and comfort. So true conviction brings comfort and joy because you understand. The people wept when they heard the word. They were convicted and convinced. So true conviction convinces you to live godly.
Amen.
Hear what I just said. True conviction convicts you or convinces you to live godly. You understand that God's way is better. So you stop living in sin. Why? Because you understand that godliness is the best way to live. The reason why you had so many problems in life is because you was doing things ungodly. Some things you knew, some things you didn't know. You just didn't know. I made mistakes that I just didn't know. I was honestly ignorant. And a lot of people are honestly unaware of truth. But true conviction gets people to see, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going to turn around and go God's way. Why? Because I want things to go well with me. The enemy will sell it like everything is going to be good. But in the end, your life falls apart in the end. So Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites told them not to mourn. Why? Because the day was holy. So a holy day is a day that you understand who you are and what you have in Jesus. And you begin to live thereby. The third thing I want you to see is celebration and strength takes place when you get understanding. They were told to celebrate, eat, drink, and share with others. The reason? The joy of the Lord is your strength. This moment shows how understanding God's word leads to conviction, comfort, and then finally joy. It's a beautiful picture of revival. It is. Right now, I got my personal revival. I've been going. It's been going on since I've been plucked out the fire. See, we can have church here all by ourselves. We running around, jumping, shouting, praising, and worshiping God. Don't have to listen. When you save, you can have church all by yourself. Ain't nobody got to come because you are worshiping God for your salvation. You appreciate being saved. Does that make sense? And so you don't cry that nobody show up. I don't care. It's not going to stop me from worshiping and adoring him and praising him and getting happy and praying in my spirit and walking around. I don't care. Why? Because I got joy on the inside. And that's the way you will be, or you are. I ain't going to say will be. That's the way it is when you walk in your salvation and you understand how forgiven you are. Man. When you walk in your forgiveness, you stop walking in the negative things.
Amen.
Going to church all the time and hearing the problems. Well, you know, people love to read that scripture. You know, a bad heart. Who can endure? Or, you know, it's like just some of the stuff I'm put out of my mind. You know, I went to God so he can give me a new heart. So I don't talk about my bad heart. I talk about my new heart.
Right.
Yeah. You're talking about it's desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Well, I know it was desperately wicked. That's why I went to him, for him to give me a new heart.
Right.
So I don't be thinking about the old man. I think about the new man. See, when you think about who you are in Christ, you can live that way. See, mm-hmm. See, if you're always thinking about the negative things, well, then there lies your problem. You can't have no joy always thinking about the negative. God don't see you that way. He sees you holy and acceptable and above reproach in his eyesight because of what the blood did for you. Now, if you ain't getting that in church, you're being robbed of your salvation and you're being manipulated and the devil's fooling around there stealing your joy. So look at this. Joy is having a deep, deep understanding of your personal salvation. And the power of God's love towards you. You getting that? Again, joy. This inner joy. Joy is having a deep, deep understanding of your personal salvation. Personal, your salvation. See, I know what I'm saved from. And see, a lot of people judging folks and looking negative at people are talking about people because they have not experienced a deep cleansing and understanding of their personal salvation. See, when you walk in your personal salvation and you really understand how saved you, what you were saved from, glory to God, you ain't got time to be nitpicking and looking at other people. I was on my way to hell. I ain't got time to worry about your problems and judge you and psychoanalyze you. You do know when you're psychoanalyzing people, you're judging people. Because no man knows another man's heart or the wounds of the enemy of that person's heart that's making them do whatever they're doing. And only God can heal a man's heart and change a man's heart. Medicine can't change the nature of your heart. I don't care how many degrees he got. Only the Holy Spirit can change a man's heart. So stop psychoanalyzing yourself and see yourself in how God sees you. And meditate on how God sees you day and night, and you will start having the joy unspeakable, full of glory. All my life I couldn't fulfill my assignment because people kept pointing out my negativities instead of pointing out who I was in Christ. See, when you walk in who you are in Christ, the old man falls off. Glory to God, glory to God. You just let him go. He dies instantly because you embrace the new you in Christ. And that's people's problems. That's people's problems. So, when a born-again saint understands, receives, and abides in what Jesus has done for them, his joy is not abstract. It is deeply personal. You see that? My personal salvation I'm judged by some people. Well, I don't agree with your theology. Well, I don't give a rat's rump what you agree with. I'm saved. The blood of Jesus has saved me. That's my theology. I am holy, I am acceptable, and I'm above reproach. And so are you, you goofnagle. You got to get rid of that theological mindset and understand who you are in Christ and believe and stop walking in false humility. Trying to act right, false humility. You know what? Religious people that don't know who they are, that think they know all that with all this religious intellectualism of the Bible, they ain't got no joy. They ain't never got no joy. They ain't got no joy. God bless them with something, they ain't happy about it because they feel that they get happy, well, I'm getting emotional. You supposed to be happy to be blessed, you ignoramus. I get happy when, don't your children get happy when you bless them?
Amen.
Boy, wouldn't you get happy when God bless you and help you out and do something you couldn't do?
Amen.
Oh, shut up. That's how I know you're religious. You have no joy at all. You can't get joyful somebody else getting blessed because you are religious and deceived. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. I'm going to help people today. They listen, you're going to get blessed and helped and free. Get free from that religious dogma.
Yes.
I've heard people preaching on how somebody praised God. Well, they doing all that different praising with all them guitars and stuff. They ain't praising you. They praising Otis. Ain't nobody come to hear you, Otis. Nobody come see you. They praising Jesus.
Hallelujah.
How you going to get mad how they praise Jesus, man? What's wrong with people? You mad at I don't care how they praise you. They ain't praising Bro Larry.
Amen.
They praising Jesus, so I don't talk about it. Everybody like different styles of music. See, it's time to grow up. Some people like rock music. What's wrong with they doing what they got to do to enjoy Jesus? They serving Jesus, y'all. Why are you judging and mad about it? You know what? Because you're insecure and you don't know how to flow and praise him. You ain't got no joy. Why? Because you don't have a good understanding of what you've been saved from. You ain't free. You still bound by religion. All right, don't take all that. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've been saved from. They want to run around the church. Let them run around the church, doggone it. What's wrong with people around here with your religious sadity selves? Now, if you want to go to the church where everybody walk on cotton and they go, then go to that church. Go to that facility. Go to that place. Go where you fit and where you feel, you know, But stop knocking other people down for the way they express God. Mm-hmm. Can't stand it. They don't have an understanding of the deep joy of reconciliation and redemption and restored relationship. See, they're not relationship minded. They're church minded. seeing God as they don't see themselves as God as their loving father. They see God as somebody they got to please. You please God by believing in Jesus. Now you're pleasing to him. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to appease him. He's already pleased with you. My children don't have to do nothing to please me. We want them to live right so it'll go well with them. That's on. I don't want them to go to jail. I didn't want my girls to have babies and teenagers. I want them to get married first. Why? I don't want them to go through. I didn't want them to go through all those hardships and problems and mistakes that I made. So I raised them different. Wasn't trying to be mean. I was being a father, protecting my children from being hurt by the devil. That's what I was. And you hate me for that? That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Religion. I hate religion. It destroys families. Religion destroys families. Forgive me. Let me calm down. It's a family destroyer. It destroyed my family. Took my mama from me. Took my daddy from me. Put me in a foster home. So when I preach, I'm passionate about this. Because I don't like religion. You, which is sedity cells. Oh, but Jesus is my Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's get to section 2. Glory to God. I got to get done in 15 minutes here, I think, here. Let's see what time how much time I got here. Y'all getting something today?
Uh-huh.
And I already been here 42 minutes. Section 2, Jesus is God's joy for you. Jesus is God's joy for you. Jesus is the embodiment of God's joy. He is the reason heaven rejoices. He is the fulfillment of the Father's heart and the source of our strength. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten." So he gave Jesus, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans 5:17, it says, "For if by one man's offense," he's talking about Adam, what Adam did, "death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift." You see that? The gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. Reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Reigns through Jesus. Not you, not me, through Jesus. Y'all see that? Glory to God. So now look what this says here. I want you to see this in the verse, Romans 5:17. There was all these years that people would tear me down, and I had tears trying to get right with God, telling me to get right with God. But little did I know, my faith in Jesus is what made me right. I didn't really grab that reality. But now that I have, I don't have to keep working to be right with God. I am. And you don't either. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, you're right with God. What's the next step? You're on team Jesus, as I say. You've been clothed in his righteousness. And now he's doing an inside work with you and in you and through you. But you on the team. You have to read the Bible. You have to read the playbook. And you have to now practice righteousness.
Yes.
That practice is what you do on purpose and intentionally. Right?
Uh-huh.
You on purpose and intentionally put it to practice. So all you got to do is practice. Read the book. Do the plays. And what? We reign in life. We reign because of what Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit helps us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered him. It said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, this is how they amplified, reborn from above, spiritually transformed and renewed, sanctified, he cannot see, ever see, amplified says, ever see and experience the kingdom of God. So I want you to understand that the devil keeps people distracted with other things so that they do not see and live by the kingdom within. But as mature saints, you have to learn to discipline. This is important. Discipline yourself to look of looking to Jesus only for who you are and what you have. You get what I said? You look to who you are and what you have in Jesus. That takes discipline. And stop falling from the banana in the tailpipe. That's what came to me when I was meditating on that. See, you falling for the banana in the tailpipe about all this other stuff and listen to some intellectual discussion about Paul. Paul didn't save you. Jesus did. Impressed with how their theological rendition of the great apostle Paul. But that also went over religious performance. Tell me about what Jesus has done. Tell me what Paul's revelation about Jesus. Am I helping you?
Yeah.
That's what's important. Paul had a powerful prayer in the book of Ephesians. And that prayer was, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling. Pray that over yourself. Lord, show me. Open my spiritual eyes so I can see who I really am in Jesus. God, open my eyes so I can really see what I have in Jesus. So I can put my faith in it. Because God honors your faith in Jesus under the new covenant. We live under the new covenant. So you need to know who you are in Jesus and what you have in Jesus. Glory to God. Hebrews 12:2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, amplify them reading, who by faith have testified of the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. So these witnesses show God's absolute faithfulness. He's a faithful God when we believe in him. And he commanded us to believe in his son, Jesus. So when we believe in Jesus, he will be faithful to our faith in Jesus. Stripping away every uncertainty, weight, and sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. A lot of stuff that you're listening to is a weight and it produces sin in your life. I like this simple thing here. He's saying just let them go. Don't get deep and theological. Just let it go. Drop it and look to Jesus and move towards him. He says, let us run with endurance the active persistence, an active persistence, the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking away from all that will distract us and focus our eyes on Jesus. That's the problem. People's eyes aren't focused on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the first incentive of our belief. The one who brings us faith, brings our faith to maturity. Oh, I've arrived. You have not arrived yet. If we still in this dirt suit, we ain't arrived. Who for the joy, look at this, for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing the deity and authority and the completion of his work. So what did he do? The joy that was set before him. You and I was that joy.
Yes.
Right, we're going to get to the end. You and I was the joy of Jesus. He did everything for us. Mm-hmm. You are his joy. And you got to start understanding that I am the joy of the Lord. I bring God joy. My salvation brings God joy. God is, it's God's delight for you to see and live by the kingdom within. Why? So that you can enter into his joy. You are born again. Now you are his bundle of joy. What do we call a baby that's born? One of the things we say, that baby is a bundle of joy. Glory to God. I ran around all this morning. I am God's bundle of joy. You are God's bundle of joy. Glory to God. Y'all mind if I take, I finish this up. I'm almost done. Learning to live by the kingdom allows him to provide for you and take care of you supernaturally. It has to be supernaturally because he's a spirit. He doesn't live in the natural. He lives in the spirit. So every time he blesses you, it's supernaturally. Glory to God. He does miracles for us. That's the only way he can bless us, because he's in the spirit realm. And it manifests in the natural. Oh, glory to God. That's something that the devil doesn't want to happen in your life, because you start getting his miracle working power in your life. It makes you trust him more and more. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why he keeps people distracted and reacting to outside issues of life. Talking about what's going on with the president in politics. No one cares. The kingdom is on the inside of me. I'm not in this world. I'm of this world, but I'm not. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world.
Yes.
My citizenship is in heaven.
Kingdom.
Glory to God. Citizens of the kingdom. Because they have no walls around their heart to protect the issues of their life. You got to get some walls and gates around your life. You got to stop just listening to any old thing. Glory to God. It's hard to run to and for Jesus when you're bogged down by religious deceptions, worldly ways, and false expectations. You end up in bondage, trying to live up to and conform to man-made standards. If you don't keep your eyes on Jesus, looking at him and him only, you will find yourself in bondage.
Yeah.
A lot of people are in bondage right now going to church. You're free in Jesus. Walk in your freedom. Walk in your liberty. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Stop walking in this false humility. There's nothing wrong with you. Because God don't see you through the negativity. He sees you through Jesus, who you are in him. Acknowledge who you are in him. If you don't know who you are in him, then you're being cheated of your salvation. I ain't gonna never stop saying that. That's what makes people backslide. That's what make people stop going to church. Because no one's teaching them Jesus, who they are and what they got in him. In him, through his blood. You already measure up through his blood.
Yes.
You are blessed and holy and acceptable to God because of what Jesus done for you. Man, religion makes you work to be right in the eyes of men, to convolute and complicate the simplicity of the gospel, to glorify their own intellectual pride. It don't take all that to understand the simplicity of the gospel. So again, you are God's bundle of joy. You must learn not to think beyond what is written. You must train your heart and mind and mouth to stay in alignment with all that you are and all that you have in Jesus. And you must absolutely refuse to listen to preaching that does not glorify the lordship of Jesus and affirm who you are in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus. I will not listen to your garbage ever again. I feed on who I am in Jesus. All right. Let me say these declarations and we're done. I declare that Jesus reigns over your heart, your mind, and your future. I declare that you walk in the fullness of his grace, power, and purpose. I declare that every lie that the enemy is silenced and by the truth of his lordship. Jesus is the Lord of your life. He leads you, strengthens you, and you follow his voice. God's kingdom lives on the inside of you. You walk in his righteousness. You walk in his peace. And now walk in his joy through the Holy Spirit. You are God's bundle of joy. Take that away. Take that away from this message today. You are God's bundle of joy. You are redeemed, accepted, blessed to live with his protection and purpose.
Whoa.
Glory to God. Do you understand that? Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. That's what Jesus has done for you.
Yes.
Glory to God. That's who you are in Jesus. Yes. You're not your religious denomination. You are a child of the Most High God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, bless God. That's enough. I'm happy, man. God gonna use us to set some people free.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.